Hello and welcome to the final episode of season one of The Dorothy Project. My name is Alice and I've got one more Dorothy for you to meet before we take a little break. Over the last 3 months, I've had the privilege of meeting and hearing about the lives of 12 amazing women. Women from different fields, from musicals to medicine, different generations, sexualities, personalities. It's been so interesting to see what we have in common and what we don't. I think everyone had their own definition of the word queer, for example. But I feel like I've just scratched the surface. For starters, I didn't manage to speak to any people of colour. So I'm planning to return for season two, which I'll be putting together over the next few months. I would love to know who you think I should talk to and what stories you want to hear. Tweet me at Dorothy_podcast or leave a review with your thoughts on Apple Podcasts. But for now, it's time to meet Lucy Moss. Lucy is the writer and director who, with her friend from uni, Toby Marlowe, created Six, the runaway hit musical about the wives of Henry VIII, and Hot Gay Time Machine, which has won a ton of awards and tells the story of a gay man's life through song and multiple costume changes. I am a massive fan of Six. I mean, it's a feminist history musical. Those are three of my favourite words. And it sounds like Beyoncé and Little Mix and Nicki Minaj and Ariana Grande. I wanted to talk to Lucy about working with Toby. They're creating various new projects right now, but I didn't manage to winkle out any details. About what they each bring to their collaboration, about what she thinks makes their relationship tick, and what it is about pop queens that gay men love so much. You work primarily with Toby Marlowe.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about how you met.
Well, we met at an ATM machine in our first term of university. And I directed one of the freshest plays at our uni. And it was like a late night show, so it was about 12:30 at night at the time. I was getting some cash out because I was going to go and drink loads of pints, like the legend I am. And Toby sort of tapped me on the shoulder and was like, "Are you Lucy Moss?" And I was like, "Yes." And he was like, "I just saw your show," and then was a bit like gushy about it, and I was so awkward. I was like, "Thanks. What?" And anyway, so he'd just been to see the show that I directed, and so he fangirled me famously. And then a few weeks later, I was assistant directing a play and he auditioned and we cast him in it. And so we kind of became friends through the theatre community at our uni.
What was the show that you did?
It was Jim Cartwright's Road, which is now really funny to me that I thought I would take on the kind of like northern grit kind of play, Londoner that I am. And it was this kind of, I was like, I'd like spent all summer thinking about it and like over directed it so much. There was all these like ridiculous like physical theatre sequences, but it was just like funny because it was like the freshest plays usually like someone goes, "Oh, I think I'll give directing a go," but I'd like come with a plan. I was like, "This is what I'm gonna do," and it was really an ambitious show. So that was it.
Cool. And then, so you were part of the Musical Theatre Society, is that right?
Well, actually, exclusive for you, I never joined. I never paid the membership fees.
No way.
I'm technically not a member. But Toby was very much a member of that. And I was kind of more in the theatre, like plays and comedy side of stuff.
Got it.
But sort of annually, they had this big panto at our university where kind of the comedy and musical theatre scenes fuse. And that's sort of how I first came in contact with Toby's writing. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then I was his fangirl.
Right.
In return.
So how did Six come out of all of that kind of soup of creativity?
Yeah, so basically during our first year we became really close friends and we spent a lot of time watching dance videos and like drinking wine and running around dancing in clubs. And over that time we spent a lot of time talking about how we would want to maybe write a musical, like write something, and I'd never written anything before and Toby was like a songwriter, but he'd been writing a lot of kind of like music for sort of plays and like background kind of music and scoring the shows. Anyway, and so we kind of had lots of chats about the kind of shows that we want to write and how he was kind of being like, "I think you'd be good at writing," and I was like, no, I'm just a director. But then I spent my whole time like unpicking people's writing and then being like, anyway. So we've been talking for a long time about wanting to write a musical together, and we knew that we wanted to write a show that had lots of really meaty, like, funny parts for women. because I'd been at musical theatre school before university, and I spent the whole time kind of being a little bit frustrated by the kind of songs that I would have to be singing, whereas all the kind of fun, cool, charactery songs always seemed to be for the boys. And same with our musical theatre society that Toby was in and I was adjacent to. There were kind of all these incredible women and non-binary people who were just brilliant performers, singers, and so funny, but they were never given the kind of chance, whereas all the average Joe boys got to be the main parts, no offence to them. And
you haven't named anyone, no. It's fine.
So we've been talking for a long time about writing a show, a musical, and then our musical theatre society decided that instead of paying, they take a show up to the Fringe every year, and instead of like paying for rights, they were like, oh, well, it's really expensive to pay for rights, why don't we get someone to write an original one? So then Toby applied with some sort of criteria, being like, oh, well, it needs to be a famous subject matter, so something people have heard of before, because at the Fringe you have to kind of stand out. We talked a lot about wanting it to be like an interesting concept, so that having an interesting reason for music existing rather than just like a book musical, parts of women, as I've said, and I feel like there's another thing that was in the criteria list, and pop music, because that's our jam. And then he kind of got the slot and then asked me to do it with him, and then suddenly one day had this sort of eureka moment where he was like, wait, what if, because we'd just settled on the Six Wives, pretty much. He's like, wait, what if it's a pop concert? And that's why they're songs, and therefore they like, do this pop concert. And he like called me, and I was like, that sounds like it could be so bad. We have to just make sure it's not bad. And so that's kind of how it happened.
Because to me, that idea sounds like it's going to be amazing from the get-go.
I just was like, it was not as bad. I was like, it could be really like, naff. I was like, oh, that. I was thinking about what in like the wrong hands that could be, of like sort of like why. I don't know. I just was like, singing like. Well, I guess it kind of, I don't know, it sort of is what I thought. But anyway, I just remember having the thought of, I wasn't immediately like, oh my God, that's the best idea I've ever had. I was like, okay, that's cool, but it could be so naff that my job is going to just make sure that it's not bad. And so whenever we were writing, I was like, I think this bit's bad. And so we'd like change it. Whenever it was bad, I was like, no, this isn't good. Or like started to sort of lean into this sort of like naffness that I perceived could happen.
So what do you think makes your relationship work?
I think it's changed. I think it's evolved. I think, it's grown. At the beginning, it was very much like a mutual respect for each other's talent. Like, both of us think that the other one is the talented one. I know that Toby's the talented one, but he thinks that I am, so just don't tell him. But yeah, as we said, like we met via and like grew to collaborate via us both being like seeing each other's work and being like, wow, that's amazing. So that was kind of what informed our writing together at the beginning. And because we both kind of have, Toby will sort of like fling out 100 different things, but it's sort of this sounds bad, but he's sort of more happy to like settle with something, whereas I'm a bit more like, no, I'm the boring one that's like, no, this isn't exactly what we mean, like this isn't exactly what it should be, or that bit doesn't sound exactly like we want it to, kind of thing. But I think now, genuinely, it's the thing that makes us our collaboration work is we put quite a lot of work into our relationship. Like we do quite a lot of like a couple, basically, like a married couple, but who also spend every waking hour at work together. We've sort of like grown as a little like couple, and then sort of a year ago we started to have a bit of, we'd sort of not quite know how to communicate, and then we'd like maybe have a fight, and then we'd like talk about it, and now we sort of have a big kind of like communication thing where if something's bothering us, we'll sort of like bring it up, and then we'll like talk about it, and it's very like, very like conscious effort that gets put into our relationship because we spend so much time together and because we have to basically tear each other apart when we're working together, and also because the sort of things that are happening to us is sort of a pressure cooker of just like intense experiences that we're both sort of dealing with together. And I think so now it's communication, honestly, like I've so grown up, honestly.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm like making notes.
Yeah.
So obviously you've worked on other projects together. So Hot Gay Time Machine, you are wearing the t-shirt today.
I am wearing the t-shirt.
So what was it like working on that?
That was truly one of like the most joyful experience of my life to date. It's me, Toby, and also Zach Ghazi-Torbati. And again, this was at the same time as the Six stuff, we were starting to think about that. Zach and Toby had drunkenly applied for a slot at the theatre the next term. with a show called Hot Gay Time Machine, and that was all that they had.
Right.
And they were like, oh, yes, and Lucy, you'll direct it. And I was sort of grandly in the sort of, like, you know, like, bar of the ADC Theatre being like, yes, yes, I'll direct it, ha, ha, ha. And then it was, like, about 10 days before, and I remember being like, wait, is this happening? They're like, yeah, we've got a slot. And I was like, am I actually directing it? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay! And then we just, like, sat in my room, and I was like, okay, so it's Hot Gay Time Machine, so I guess we'll do... And they sort of had a couple of things they wanted to talk about. Like, they both liked the idea of, like, writing a song about trying not to look at cocks in the locker room, which is how the song Cocks in the Locker Room came about. there were sort of various ideas like that. And Toby had a song from way back when called If Only I Were Born Gay, which actually isn't in the show anymore, but... there's sort of a couple of strands. So I sort of sat down and was like, okay, so it's going to be a time traveling journey through your lives, through your experiences. The kind of concept is you found a time machine, but instead of doing it to like using it to actually do exciting travel, you're going to use it to go back through your own experiences, because it's like the whole joke of it was being like really self-indulgent. And they had like 8 costume changes that were completely unnecessary. And like, and then there was a thread through it of like, I was like, there'd be a thread that's like, which one of you is the Beyonce of the two of you? And we just sort of like, patch it together, and then spent the next week staying up till 3 a.m. ordering Domino's and like writing stupid like rhyme zone googling like what rhymes with cocks? Locks. So that was super fun. And so then from the position of being kind of the director, it sort of evolved into writing it together, and we kind of put it on at completely as a joke. We were like, this is going to be just one time thing, and then we like had the best time doing it, and it just sort of felt like something special. And we were all sort of like, "Ooh, this is not just like a joke. This is actually kind of cool." So I went to Edinburgh Fringe and all of that. But yeah, it was just so amazing to be able to like facilitate their stories.
Yeah. Really. So how does that work? Because obviously you're not a gay man.
I'm not a gay man.
How do you see like your role, like you say, kind of facilitating, bringing that experience to the stage?
Yeah, completely. I mean, I think it also relates to the fact that we're quite good friends as well. So there was a time when the show sort of claimed on stage to be representing all the aspects of their relationship, but I kind of knew about their previous like romantic relationship that sort of hadn't quite worked out. And it sort of felt, it was the kind of thing where I was like, I obviously couldn't be like, I think we should do this, but it was the kind of thing where I would ask questions about what they thought that we should maybe do about that, and sort of talk to them separately, and then we kind of, but then in that situation, we then wrote a song called Gay Friends, about how like gay men can't be friends without sleeping with each other, quote unquote. And that was quite a good experience. I think it was quite helpful to have sort of me as the sort of mediator or the person kind of leading the session, so that they could kind of be free to like bring their ideas rather than, you know, them do. That's quite an intense thing to write about. Because in the show, because obviously being a gay man doesn't exist in a vacuum, a lot of what we wanted to talk about with Hot Gay Time Machine as well was the kind of interaction between gay men and women and feminism. And one of our songs is kind of about, again, it's a little bit 2017 now, but about the idea that gay men sort of feeling exempt from sexism and misogyny, and how so it's a kind of thing of being like, there's the setup of the song is Toby being like, oh my god, this straight guy was just like trying to grind up on Tiffany and like grab her boobs, so like I started to grind up on her and grab her boobs instead just to make him stop. And like Zach's like, wait, hang on a second, I have like a song about it, kind of thing. So it's actually, I think it's helpful not to have just in that situation, it's like helpful to have like a female voice in the room as well, to make sure that it's kind of that we're talking about lots of different issues, and how queerness and how their own identities like come into contact with other identities as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's interesting actually, because I was going to ask you about that from like the other way around, talking about Six, because obviously the entire cast is and all the stories are female, but there feels quite a sort of, like you said, very pop, but also quite a draggy aesthetic. Mm. And I don't know if you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, but there's a number in that called The Baddest Bitches of Herstory. And I was watching it with my husband after we'd seen Six, and we were like, oh my God. And it's just this parade of, it starts with Eve, and then there's like Marie Antoinette.
Oh my God, I need to watch this.
You do, I'll send you the link, because it's really fantastic. And we were saying, it's really interesting that those are all men, and like that's a show that's kind of created by men, but it felt like that was a real celebration of women's individuality and not just their roles in relation to their husbands or whatever. Mm. So I was going to ask you about it from that side, which is kind of like what Toby brings as a gay man to telling the stories of women.
For sure. I think... that's a different question. I think that Toby is so brilliant because he completely recognises the responsibility to be someone who facilitates the story, but also who like listens and engages and sort of doesn't make it like kind of like prioritizes the women's voices in the room a lot of the time. And so like when we were writing the show, like a lot of the kind of one of our like we set out this kind of criteria when we first started, and one of them was kind of showing that there are parallels in the female experience 500 years ago as there are today. Or at the time we were writing. And so a lot of the, like Toby was very good at kind of being like, okay, what do we want to draw out here? And I'd be like, well, I think this experience of blah, 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 blah. And he would like really like listen and appreciate it, but also be, he's sort of aware, he's like so aware that he shouldn't be the kind of the person telling the story. And actually really interestingly, he had to step into the show a few weeks ago because everyone was very ill, bless them. And it's quite funny. So he was playing the role of Catherine Parr, which was, I think he, before we were like, that'd be so funny, like, ha ha ha. And then I think in the process of doing it, I mean, it was all fine. It was obviously an emergency and like necessary. And I think people understood the context of it. But Catherine Parr is the sixth queen, who's the one who goes like, wait, women, why are you arguing about this? Like, we should all be, and basically sort of, and he sort of felt like he was mansplaining on stage to all these like arguing women. And was like, wow, I felt really he found that kind of uncomfortable experience, even though obviously it's he wasn't like actually doing, you know what I mean. But then what's really interesting on Twitter is one of our amazing fans called Abby did this amazing tweet saying that she found it so inspiring to see a like non-femme presenting person on stage in the role of one of the queens, because she, as a I think trans non-binary woman, really like felt that was like an empowering message to sort of see on stage. So it's I don't know, so there's lots of different ways in which it interacts, I guess.
I was going to ask you about that, and that's so interesting, because if he'd had to step in for the others, it would have been different for everyone and bring out a different kind of element.
Totally. And in many ways actually Catherine Parr is quite a good one, because she doesn't, because of her role in the second half, she's not as kind of present in the other scenes, so yeah. It was so sort of helpful in that sense, but then unhelpful when he had to be like, wait, what are you all doing?
I was going to ask you, because so Six, like obviously musical theatre in general is really popular with gay men, that's sort of like a cliche, mm-hmm. but it was initially recommended to me and like really stand for by a lot of gay men that I know, and I think a lot of that is like the pop music, because the songs slap. But I guess I'm interested, like, do you think there's something about kind of fierce queens, pop and regal, that appeal to that audience?
Yeah, well, I haven't really thought, stupidly haven't really thought about the regal thing that much before, because basically, interestingly for this podcast, Toby and I, we started writing the show. It's now evolved into something else, but we think we might return to it. But it was called Diva, and it was about the idea of diva worship. So the relationship, well, basically, it started as we were thinking, what about the relationship between queer men and their like female divas? And it was going to be kind of a thing where we had like the diva song, and then it gets like remixed into a new song by the kind of queer man on stage or whatever. Then we kind of decided that we wanted it to. That felt like a kind of one-sided perspective, and we felt like we wanted to write a show that was more about the like very specific and unique relationship between queer men and women, because again with our lives, like, it's so many of my most important relationships are with my like queer male friends, and yet I never see that in art represented in any way other than the gay best friend or like the like sassy friend being like, you go for it, gay friend, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So I do think that, so having like researched a lot of like diva worship kind of stuff, there's a lot of writing about the idea of the kind of like the fierceness of the kind of female diva figure that like makes her femininity like kind of like a powerful, I'm absolutely butchering this this description of diva worship. Everyone just Google it. but yeah, the idea of the kind of like the taking strength from the femininity that potentially gay men have experienced as like femininity being pointed out as like a weakness or a flaw in them, let's say, which is a huge generalization, but
yeah, it's a general principle. I know exactly what you mean. So, I'm going to go and find all of those books.
Honestly, there's a really good one called My Diva, and it's lots of gay men have written sort of testimonies to their diva person and how that person helped them in their lives. I think it's called My Diva. Oh gosh,
I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's sort of like individual testimonials. But yeah, so I think that theme is something that we're really interested in and something that we've really seen with the Six fan base. Yeah, and a lot of the reason that Toby like wanted to write this idea, or was excited by this idea, is because he, as like identifying at the time as like a gay man, like was obsessed with like Beyonce and obsessed with pop stars, and that's kind of part of why the whole Six thing came about. So like, a lot of people kind of say to us, "Oh, it's very obvious that it's also that somebody like a gay man or person has written this show," which is fun.
So. Yeah, what were your kind of musical inspirations?
For the Six Queens? So, because of the pop concert thing, because we didn't have like a narrative or we weren't going to tell their lives from start to finish, all of them, we kind of decided the part of their story that we wanted to tell, to talk about, both in terms of, which was shaped both by their like position in the lineup. So for example, Aragon, who could have written a really like emotional ballad of many of the heartbreaking moments in her life, but we were like, a lot of her character and her life that people don't know about before the like divorce thing, it was being kind of like badass, like strong lady. And also because she's the first one, we were like, well, that's kind of what people are expecting of this show, that's being like, we're the Six Wives back to tell our story. They want a kind of like power, like Beyonce thing. So we sort of found a moment in her life that we thought represented that. And then that kind of, so the decision of what we were going to tell sort of shaped the sort of pop inspiration. So she, Aragon, is very much inspired by like Beyonce, like Crazy in Love kind of Beyonce, and also a bit of Shakira in there, a bit of J-Lo, that kind of thing. And then Anne Boleyn.
Very Spanish, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And Anne Boleyn is sort of inspired by a combo of kind of Lily Allen, Kate Nash, but also could potentially be a bit like Miley Cyrus from the sort of bangers era. Also a bit of Avril Lavigne, a bit of Taylor Swift in there. Then Jane Seymour is a bit Adele, but also kind of Emily Sandé or Sia when she's doing a ballad, or like Lady Gaga when she's doing a ballad. Cleves is an interesting one because we've had so many different, but when we first wrote it, we kind of imagined, like, the song Get Down, which she sings, is sort of a sort of Tudor play on the kind of, like, rap bravado of, like, boasting about, like, Grey Goose and your Ferraris or whatever, and it's sort of her being like, yeah, my, like, mead and my pheasants and my, like, horse and carriage that can go 12 miles an hour or whatever. And so we kind of, we didn't have a really specific person, but, like, some of our performers have taken it down the kind of Rihanna, Nicki Minaj route, but then others of our performers have taken it down a more kind of, like, Grimes, Lady Gaga kind of thing, so it's a bit more fluid. It's
That's so interesting. Like, I hadn't even thought about, but obviously each performer is going to bring their own style.
Completely.
I don't think anyone thinks of Anne of Cleves the same way again after that show. I love it. It's just such an amazing surprise. Like,
she's just got the best story. She just won history and nobody knows about it. So
yeah.
But now hopefully they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Kay Howard is Ariana Grande, Britney kind of vibes.
And ponytail.
Exactly. And a little bit like Disney star who's just graduated to grown up. And then Alicia Keys is our kind of par, but again, a bit of Emily Sandé in there, a bit of Georgia Smith, that kind of thing. But as you say, the performers all bring their own, like so much of our rehearsal process is about sort of talking about what would, if you were a pop star, what would your version of your onstage self be? So in the same way that Adele, when she's walking around making a cup of tea, is the same person when she's on stage, but she just like has a bit of a different presence. It's like that version of themselves. So we want you to like watch Alicia Keys and like become her. It's like, we want you to imagine if you were the pop star, your personality. They sort of have to sort of fuse themselves to it. So it makes the rehearsal process really interesting and fun and not kind of paint by numbers. And it makes hopefully the sort of experience more authentic.
Yeah. And finally, I'd like to ask you to nominate another Dorothy that I should speak to.
Ooh, I have a couple.
Brilliant.
One of them is Letty Graham, who actually works in the office of our producer, but has sort of devoted her life to supporting and being an amazing ally to gay men. And another is our musical director in the West End, Katie Richardson, who also is like the most vocal ally I've ever met in my life. So those are my two.
I cannot wait to see what Lucy and Toby do next. Until next time, thank you so much to all of my amazing guests, to the long list of people who gave me advice and support, to Bright Light, Bright Light, who produced our banging theme tune and whose next job is supporting Cher on tour. I like to think the two things are related. But most importantly, thank you to all of you who've listened and who've come up to me at Push the Button or at Pride or on Twitter to talk about it. I loved meeting you. See you for season 2.